Mark chapter 4 and verses 30 to 32. Kingdom growth. Let me read the verses to you. Again he said, the Lord Jesus, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. What should we say the kingdom of God is like? We're talking about the kingdom. The parables are to do with the kingdom. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than anything else. The kingdom, the kingdom. What is the kingdom like? It's like, in this parable, to the sowing of mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds, and yet becomes the largest of all plants. We're not talking here about horticulture, are we? It's an illustration. It's a picture. These agricultural people would understand it. And we now, with our technological age and industrial age and all the rest of it, we perhaps moved away from these agricultural illustrations. But here they are. Here they are. And we've got to try and find the lesson. Now we read in the verses that follow that Jesus explained everything to his disciples. And I, for one, would like to hear the explanation of this parable. The views of believers form a spectrum. At one end, there'll be those who see this parable as depicting an enormous flourishing of the kingdom and the wonderful expectation of what we might call post-millennialism, the rise and spread and power of the church. In political terms, too, many would see, Reconstructionists would see it. Post-millennialists see this as a wonderful parable, no doubt, of the tremendous growth of the church. There are others with certain prophetical views who see this as a prediction of the growth of evil. The parable of yeast, the mustard seed, the trees, the birds of the air. Over and over in Scripture, these illustrations are used to warn us of evil and hypocrisy and sin. And they see in this parable the ruin of the kingdom, the ruin of the kingdom, the spread of ruin, the apostasy, the growth of apostasy. But before we get to that, we've got to concentrate on the main point here, and that's what we must do throughout. What is the main point here? Well, the main point here is this. It's growth. It's growth. It's the smallness of the start, the dying of the thing, it seems, the withering of it, the smallness of it, the feebleness of it, but the tremendous result in the end of the spread of it and the extent of it. Now, this principle is a proverb in Israel. Mustard seed, smallness, and so on. Matthew 17:20. Now, look at the history of God's people, the covenant history. I've tried to write about it in my book on redemption history through covenants. Think about Abraham and Sarah. What are we told in Isaiah 51, verse 1 and on? That God, when he found Abraham and Sarah, he found them with just one. Isaac, you see. Abram. Just one. But look what's come from Abraham. He is the father of all the faithful. Think of Noah. Only eight saved in all the world. Only eight saved. Think of Moses going into Egypt. But how many did he lead out into the Exodus? The remnant comes over and over when describing the people of God. Daniel chapter 2, the little stone becomes a great mountain, fills the kingdom, fills the world. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29, God has chosen the weak, the foolish, the small, the despised, the feeble. And what does he make of them? What does he make of this people? In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9, Paul says, God has set us apostles at the end. He said, we're like the ragtag and bobtail of the procession. it, when the Roman emperors came back, they had the slaves and also on the conquerors, the thing people they conquered and so on, their treasure. And we're the last of the row. We're the weakest, the smallest. We're the scum of the earth. God has made us that and uses us. How about church history? Brown, Penry, Thomas Hellis. Thomas Hellis opened the first, and his friends opened the first General Baptist Church in England in the 1600s, early 1600s, about 1609, 1612, 1612, I think it was. How many members? 10. The handful that went to Leiden, that went flew to Holland, the separatists, and then went to the New World. The handful that set up in New England. So as it goes on, look at the few that started with Christ, 120 in Jerusalem, but now it's spread. He warned them to stay there until the Spirit had come. And he said, when the Spirit has come, the promise, now you'll spread. So it's small starting, secret growth. We've looked at that, the dying of the seed, the mysterious growth, where the life comes from. And then the growth. Abraham turned to all the faithful. Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord was adding to their number, such as we should be saved daily. 1 Corinthians 3, we sow, we water, we do this, we do, but God gives the increase, and so on. Now, small beginnings, weakness, that's where our power is, brother and sister. It's the power of God, not our power. Today we live in churches, in a time and culture when churches are full of fanfare and smoke and razzmatazz and noise and lights and blowing the trumpets and so on. No, we don't want that. No. It's in weakness is our strength. In helplessness is our power. In feebleness is our glory. Now, how do you take this? Some would see the success of the gospel. Others see apostasy. The Son of Man, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, I see both. I see that the true church of God shall expand and shall grow and shall develop. But I also see that apostasy will abound. So I'm not surprised when I look around me and see the culture of the evangelical world today with its, as I consider it, largely turning away from the principles of the new covenant and going into the world. I see that Jesus predicts it, warns us, the fall of the church, the apostasy. And when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, however you view it, my friend, remember, small beginnings, weakness, growth comes only by the power of God. Let Newton and Ryland, John Newton and John Ryland, bring it to a close. Saviour, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Surely once thy garden flourished, every part looked bright and green. Then thy word our spirits nourished. Happy seasons we have seen. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. But a sad But a drought has since succeeded, and a sad decline we see. Lord, thy help is greatly needed. Help can only come from thee. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Dearest Saviour, hasten thither. Thou canst make us bloom again. Oh, permit us not to wither. None can hope in thee in vain. Oh, Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Break the tempter's fatal power. Turn each stony heart to flesh. Oh, for me. And begin from this good hour to revive thy work afresh. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive me. All our help must come from thee. May we see, however weak and feeble we may be, to see even through our weakness, the glory of God, the advance of the gospel. And in the days of great apostasy, may God still shine and save his people from their sins. For Christ's sake, amen. And praise be God to God. The parable shows us, not only may God arise, he will arise and his work will go on. Amen.